What, you dare me
what,
to make
you,
it about
dare
feminism?
Me to make it about feminism?
Because I can make it about
because
feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
You are now listening you to the Feminist Bar Podcast. The Feminist Bar Podcast.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you're listening to this, wherever you are, welcome to the Feminist Bar Podcast with your host, Tina Tsoimaka. I am back. I've been so consistent lately. Love that for me. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Like, today we have such an interesting episode. We're going to be talking about, actually, like, maybe I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves before I talk about what we're going to be talking about and, like, why. Hey Shirley, how are you? Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to the people?
Yeah, definitely. Hey you guys, it's your girl Shirley Dore, aka your favorite sex therapist. So my name is Shirley and I am a wellness professional here operating in the United States, in Florida. I specifically talk about sexual health, sexual wellness, relationship wellness, and individual concerns. I actually specialize in sex therapy, which allows for me to help couples and also individuals navigate their sexual wellness.
That sounds like such an amazing and fulfilling career. And as you were listing these things, I was thinking, damn, did I ask her on the wrong episode?
What's up with that, girl?
I was like, damn, I should have utilized the sex therapy thing more. Thank you so much, like, for being here. It's really exciting to have you here. So today we are going to be just talking about healing from relationships, I guess. I'm not going to say romantic relationships, but, you know, we are in.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the things that I love to focus on is a lot of the times. So backstory, my career started off as me being a relationship and sex columnist. So I became an expert in relationships and sexual wellness via my decision to write about these things. So I was a sex writer and a relationship writer. So I contributed pieces about sexuality, specifically Black sexuality, and then relationships in Black families and Black couples and things like that. So that allowed for me to then venture off of the writing path and then transition into this becoming my profession by pursuing higher education. And what I've learned, I will always like the less stringent side of that, which is being able to write about it, hear other people's feedback, and then rewrite about people's feedback.
Yeah, I love that. I think even as a podcaster, how many times do you sit and think to yourself, oh, like, I need to make a follow-up episode about that other episode, just about the feedback, and to respond to that feedback.
Facts. facts.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about healing. And this is super close to my heart because I think the past few months, I've just been trying to, like, heal from life. You know what I mean? Let's get into it. I mean, like, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about people healing from relationships specifically of any kind?
Yeah. So I know that healing a lot of the times can feel so one-dimensional because we have this, like, idea of healing based on what we've seen online. And that healing is picking up a tube of ice cream and listening to Fuck You Right Back and just sitting there crying your eyes out while you're watching romantic films that fill the void of everything that you're feeling. And then supposedly after that, all things are well. And you go into this, like, supposed phase, or your whole phase, and then you move on, right? But that's not what healing really looks like. While it is, you know, comedic at times and entertaining for healing to look like that, that's not the actual representation of healing. And I think the one thing that may stand is that in those representations of healing that we have on TV and shows, it shows that it's a roller coaster. And that part is true. It is a roller coaster.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Because the thing is, you can do all that. Like you can do all the things that you've explained. I have done that. In fact, if you're listening to this, you've probably done that.
Facts. Yeah. But, yeah. We've all been through it.
Yeah. But I think the fact that, like, when you later get into, like, other relationships or other friendships, or when you find yourselves, like, connecting with people in other ways, like, some of that, like, stuff can come up again. And then you're like, oh, shit. So maybe I'm not over it. Or, like, oh, so of course you're not over it, because you never really sat down with yourself about it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's, I agree with you. What is the first step to figuring out how to heal from a particular situation? Because I feel that we all experience people differently and we experience different things. And it's not in every situation that you are instantly drawn to certain solutions, even though they might be what is right. Whether that is, for example, like leaving toxic workplaces, toxic relationships, toxic friendships.
Yeah. So if we pick a specific element of relationship, so I'm gonna start with the one that people actually fail to think of, and that's specifically friendships, right? So I'm going to just come from a friendship angle, because the relationship side, there's a lot of conversation around it, and we neglect that piece of a relationship. And then I'll go into the other elements, like breaking up with your family and breaking up with your job. But if there's the first thing that I know, everyone's story is different. Everyone's experience is different. And because it's different, you have to think about taking some time off. What taking time off looks like, it could be a huge transition in your routine, right? So your emotions are going to be intense. You're going to want to display it, maybe inappropriately. But know that that intense emotion does tell you that you need to take some time out, go somewhere private and freaking cry it out. Like, let it out, yell it out, scream it out, whatever you got to do to get those emotions that are super, super intense and like really going in circles and making your life feel like it's in shambles. You got to be able to scream it out. And the most important part of letting those emotions go out in somewhere that's private is knowing that it's normal. That's like when we talk about the stages of grief. Grief happens when you're losing someone, even if it's not on a spiritual proponent, it is the same as losing someone that you are connected to that you're no longer connected to. Same way with friendships, jobs, family, relationships. You're letting go of someone or something that played a huge role in your life. And it's super normal to feel these intense emotions because you no longer have that.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, like I said, I would mention the backstory of this. There was a video on a US-based podcast. So you probably know it, but I forgot the name. I'll have to send it to you. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, they were really unpacking like the guests' relationship with her ex, and she was just talking about like, you know, it's just been like years and years and years, and like everyone keeps telling me like, oh, like you'll find healing, but it's like I can't. And that's why every single time this person comes back into my life, you know, I just have to let them there. And you know, I feel the same way with the relationships kind of like in my family. Like she was just talking about how it goes way back to her childhood. So this is something that is not just about the romantic relationships. And I have also personally felt like I have struggled with that. Like, I feel like I struggle to let things go. you know, those kind of people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really, really struggle to let things go. And
I just don't know how much more inward I could possibly look. Do you know what I mean? And that was basically the conversation that was going on in the comments that then led me to want to have this conversation, because, you know, the people on TikTok be discoursing. So
Yeah.
What do you think, I mean, are some of the things that we don't know about how much our like healing is connected to other people?
Right. So basically, like, how do you navigate breakup while having to still like maintain other relationships?
Yeah.
So those are going to be your support system. Even though you may not see it and you may not feel like it's safe, those are who you want to turn to. So when you're navigating those relationships, you use them as your support system. Now, I'm not saying, you know, be extra aggressive and, you know, like let your emotions out on your support system. I mean, truly let them be those people that you trust and love, and allow yourself to be fully vulnerable with them so that they can support you in exchange. So you need to understand that you need to be able to feel comfortable with these individuals. So choose the people that you feel the most comfortable with. Communicate what you need from them. Be honest, and especially in how you want them to help you. And if you're not getting what you need from them, it's okay for you to say, hey, I'm not doing the best right now, and I've been really trying to kind of like connect with people, but it's not really working. I don't want to come off as insensitive, but I'm really unsure of like what I'm feeling. So I'm going to take these emotions that I have, and I'm going to find something a little bit more connected, which could be like a local or virtual support group, so that you can connect with people who have similar experiences.
Yeah, I love that. I would love actually to hear about like some of the stuff that you have written that has been connected to this, and even like mental health and stuff. And I'm sure that like the people listening would love to hear that as well. I actually should have just asked that in the beginning.
Yeah, so I actually have like one of my best written pieces that, well, I don't think it's my best, but the publications think they are. I think it is. but I remember navigating my healing journey. And this was before I became a therapist. This is just me being a normal human who's just really good at writing. And I remember writing a piece about how to something breakup. I don't remember anything about it. It's mad old, but it's a piece that I wrote about what it's the three things that you need to do to really overcome your breakup. And this was specifically geared towards romantic relationships. While you can apply to your other relationships, family, friendships, career, this one specifically talks about losing the intimacy that you felt so connected to. And when you lose someone, you lose a piece of the life that you've built with a person. And I think that's the element of healing that people don't like talking about, is that loss that you get when you have to lose that special person. So in that piece, now that I'm older and I've like kind of like navigated past that, and I have great skills to healing, I know that there was a lot of hurt when I wrote the piece. And for someone to be so hurt but still be empathetic to the situation, that was definitely like a defining moment for me. So I think what I took from that is the feeling of grief that you have after the breakup can be very painful. It's very emotional. And when you think that that person will be in your life forever, you kind of lose out on specific things. And those specific things are your identity, the feeling of companionship, your living standard, your routines, even just a feeling of love. And it's, you're losing those precious moments associated with that person. And that moment, you feel like nothing will no longer make sense because you can only experience it with them, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel because all of the things that you seek from that person, you can actually gain within yourself. I recently wrote just like a tweet, and I turned my posts are now tweets. My articles are now tweets. And one of the greatest lessons that I've learned is that living purposefully cultivates a foundation for your self-esteem. So it allows for you to synchronize with your flaws, and it makes this breakup stop being a plague to you. So when you're feeling the pouts of breakups, start nurturing those feelings and find a moment of intimacy, specifically in isolation, so that you can find that discipline to fall in love with yourself and holistically cultivate a connection with your desires, your needs, and your internal happiness, so that you can get back to a point where you feel that joy that you once had with that person. It's now aligned with within you.
Yeah, I love that. That first part, especially about just like having to let go of all those different things. And I really think it's important to like forgive yourself for things.
Yeah.
And this was a big part of like what I wanted to talk about as well, which is just that, like, I think sometimes we just keep like going back to the past. And you're like, why did I do this? Or like, whether it's why did I ever let this person do this to me? Or why was I the one in this? It's a very like victim blamey where it's like everything that happened to me is my fault. I hate it. And for me, like, it's like, until you let that go and until you forgive yourself for doing what you knew best at the time, like, you're not really going to be able to like move on from a lot of things.
Right. Yeah. And I think I've mentioned it earlier, but that's grief. Like, honestly, like, I don't know that people realize that losing people is a microdose of grief. Well, it's not a microdose. That thing is huge. It's a huge dose of grief. But like you mentioned, like the victim blaming, which we can translate to just the blame cycle of grief, you'll find it that you'll do it in every situation. It doesn't matter what's lost. For some reason, selflessness makes you lean towards what did I do to make this happen? When in reality, what's in front of you is that something happened. There's no necessary area where you're like, oh, this is my fault. Is it your fault? Or is this like the pattern of things happening that's going to lead to the next step? Like, yeah, things happen. You lose people. You feel numb. You're afraid. You're confused. You avoid things. And then you start blaming. But to get to normal functioning, you have to move past that and get to the point where you're creating a plan for yourself and you're exploring options that will return you into a meaningful life and stepping away from that part where you're feeling like everything is your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading this. It was some like author who was basically summarizing like their book, and they were talking about how you have to accept that even as you like heal and go through your journey and like apologize and what, like, some people will never forgive you. You may never forgive some people. And if you center that as an important part of your journey, you might really compromise it. And I just thought that was interesting, but of course I am just looking at it all through my own experience, and you might have more perspective on that, having seen more and experienced more people going through similar things.
I think that the forgiveness piece is like a whole different ball game. Like, I feel like it's like you know how like people can combine things and they can say like breakups and singlehood, and they kind of like go together. I feel like forgiveness is its own like its own cup of problems because forgiveness. Yeah, it's a huge cup. Like, it's like, what is it? There's like a five love languages, and there's like the five stages of, similar to five love languages, like the five forgiveness languages, which is like how to apologize, essentially. In one of the conversations, the same person who wrote The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman, he says that like the five languages with apology, you have to go through these like multiple stages where the end of it is requesting forgiveness. So if someone, and this is like the other person, like the person that you're trying to forgive, if that person doesn't feel like they regret anything, if they don't feel like they accept any responsibility, if they don't feel like even making amends, repenting, none of that, you holding on to that is removing the experience of peace post-breakup out of your life. Because forgiveness is reliant on the other person. And you have no idea where that person is in the path of an apology. And because of that, you are taking years out of your life. And this is for people who spend years like seeking quote unquote closure. Closure is just forgiveness, just another word. You spend years focusing on closure and you don't really get it because the person themselves are not even on the trajectory of apologizing for their actions. They don't even acknowledge that their actions is harmful to you, but you are aware of the harm that it has caused you. So whenever it comes to forgiveness, I always say to people to start forgiving yourself, right? Forgive yourself for blaming yourself for this breakup happening because of yourself. Forgive yourself for feeling shameful. Forgive yourself for feeling like you're not enough. Like step into forgiving yourself, because in the opposite side, the waiting for someone to do something that would allow for you to feel like you forgive them, that might take forever. And from personal experience, like I remember just like holding on to what I believe was the love of my life. And I held on to whatever the heck closure was. And I can tell you, it took me like 5 years to get over this man. And I didn't get over him because it took him 5 years to come to me and tell me, I'm sorry. So imagine I didn't punish myself. Thankfully, I didn't go through the punishment stage, but I spent years like waiting for that person to realize that there was some responsibility in the harm that was caused in our relationship. And waiting on that person meant that I spent years not feeling at peace with relationships until the person came to me and they went through their path of apology. They learned their five languages of apology. And then they came to me to give me that. And that is when I felt at peace. So lessons to younger me, and I'm on that path of right now, like where I'm having conversations with my 20-year-old self. I don't told my 20-year-old self to forgive herself, forgive her decisions and her relationship, forgive the fact that, you know, I went through that cycle. So I didn't have to wait on this person to even feel remorse to come apologize to me. And then when the person came to me with remorse, when they came to me with an apology, I would have been more open to the apology, and it wouldn't have taken me 2 more years after that to truly forgive them. So in all, like, stop looking for the person to somehow make restitution with you, because you have no idea when that's going to be. And that could be 10 years, 20 years. And if you're sitting here waiting on that person, you'll never be at peace. And you should be seeking peace and not the person.
Yeah, agreed. And I think like some of that like you're looking for a little bit in my own experience is also the explanation of why, because sometimes I think we get a little bit obsessed with like why exactly. Why exactly? Because you think you're so in love, or you think you have this beautiful friendship, or you think you have this amazing relationship or whatever, and then something just happens and you're like, but why? Like, why did you do this? Why did you say these exact words? Like, was this premeditated? You know, you have so many questions. And sometimes the things that happen out there, they're so crazy that you just want answers about why. And I think for me, that's the loop that in the past that I've gotten like stuck in, where I'm just wondering, okay, but why? But why? I'm trying to understand, and it's like, it's taking up actually so much of my time. And by the time it's done, I'm like, oh shit, I've been thinking about the same shit for 3 years. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you have any resources that you can recommend to the people that are listening? Anywhere where they can learn more from you, read more from you, hear more from you?
Actually, so I am stepping out of the talk therapy space because, one, I feel like it's very limiting, two, it's very expensive, and I'm started a YouTube. So you can actually find me on YouTube at Shirley_Doerr_. So I've started in a series, which is advice to my 20-year-old self. And then I'm also contributing like lifestyle pieces because that's who I am, a lifestyle blogger. And I'm also doing YouTube videos that are like a seat with a therapist, which is me accepting different questions from my audience. They've been doing it for years and I've never been able to truly interact with them because as a therapist, we have so much guidelines that limit us from providing insight online because it shouldn't be substituted for therapy. So I'm starting a piece that says a seat with a therapist, which means because I'm no longer a talk therapist, I can actually provide insight on a more coaching component rather than a therapeutic advice component. And you'll be able to kind of like submit questions to me and then I'll provide my my own insight. So insight outside of being a therapist, just me being an empathetic, soulful person, I'll provide insight on what I believe that is.
Love that. Okay, that sounds great. I am going to be putting the links to our guests' work in the episode notes so you can go and check out some of those resources. I know that I've probably had a few conversations on like a few social media platforms about this, so I know that there's people who want some. So I think like I'm just gonna wrap up the conversation. Thank you so much for being here. This was so lovely. It was so insightful. And yeah, it just really means a lot. And I hope that it means as much to like the people that are listening to it as much as it means to me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, you guys, for having me. I'm so happy to contribute any nuggets that will kind of like help you guys go through this breakup process. Just know that like if you are looking for support, which is what a lot of people feel like they don't get when they're going through a breakup, try to find some form of support. Do not keep it within yourself and like feeling like it'll be a burden for you to try to overcome a breakup with someone. It's totally okay for you to find that person, a person, your person to communicate these things to. And that way you're not alone while you're going through that healing journey. And for the folks who are like, nah, I'm a heal by myself. I'm gonna do this on my own. I'm here to tell you that it'll be a lot more helpful if you engage someone else in that process with you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Oh, thank you so much. And that is going to be the end of this week's episode. And I will, you'll hear from me next week.